into the wilderness. Just because the world is being tardy, it does not mean you should be too. Indeed, if you fail to slowly make haste, then the world will become darker for it. Every human must shine with enlightenment. I know it is hard to accept that schools may not be working. We all have so little, and now even more rugs are pulled from beneath our feet. There's other stuff too, from bad parenting to mutually assured destruction. I'm sorry. The best answer any of them will ever give you is, how are we supposed to know? A solid foundation in reality is a really good start in life. Sometimes we don't figure things out until it is too late. I know this poem caught you early. You have a long time to ponder all this. And that too is a good start. A proper, gentle lady or gentleman questions everything and takes nothing for granted. I hope you are still in middle school or high school, and you get to walk to your desk with a heavy step, slouch, perk up your ears like a lion, and take the whole situation apart. The kids in the back figured it out already, but that is as far as they got. They need more answers. They need you. The leader. Maybe you can try thinking about debate, learning from the way great beings argue the pretenders or uneducated. You are already given reasons, now you need to find the truth. It is never too early to begin questioning everything. One of the smallest arguments we are given is the argument for mathematics. Well, it used to be given. It was that we aren't always going to have a calculator on hand. Though it is cute to say that we have smartphones with calculators that have advanced mode, there is a darker side to it. Mathematics is too abstract. It is not enough. We need programming, and we need to be shell literate as well. Vapid and insipid mathematics poisoned the beauty of science. Memorization of formulas obscured the simpler beauty beneath. Memorization is another problem. Look how carefully you are nudged to abandon reason and understanding in favor of memorization. The guillotine of failing a class because you tried to learn everything, instead of passing with a straight A for merely cramming for the test, does chop your head off. Look how proud your teacher is. That disingenuous show of teeth. Up for another raise. Sold you for a paycheck on some simple memes that you can get from a calendar. One of the biggest reasons given to you is that you need a diploma to get a job. I would like you to consider that perhaps a real diploma is one that a university goes out of their way to give you for your great achievements. The diploma you receive at the end of your stay in school, while it grants you access to higher institutions and more advanced jobs, it will not prevent those jobs from endangering or sacrificing you for profit. The best lies are the ones that others maneuver you into believing, choices you would never make without their poison. Your life does not compare to other lives, no matter how precious or numerous. There is no life arithmetic. The closest you can get to a formula is this wonderful contradiction. Each life is more important than the other. If someone ever asks you to do something for the greater good, you are not to sacrifice. You quit your job or await your dishonorable discharge and begin your search for enlightenment and wisdom onward to becoming a great being. The best job you can possibly get holds some measure of risk, then you are going to need to try harder. In case you are wondering, I care, and you can't undo that. The harder or the less worn path is that of becoming an independent inventor and entrepreneur, and you are not going to be the first or only one. Find the others. Find a couple of co-founders. Learn from your noble failures as well as triumphant successes. So when someone says, diploma, you reply, check your premise, to quote an old friend. When they say calculator, you say, help me with programming, not memorizing formulas. When they box you in to memorize, you get the others to drop the class because you need a real education, one that helps you to wisdom and greatness. While governments are smart enough to encourage learning, as evidenced by mandatory education, they are not smart enough to tell a real education from a fake one. I suspect the intelligence of governments is dictated purely by their voters, in that wise people will not vote in uneducated representatives. But you see the small catch-22 or chicken and the egg problem. A government can't easily become intelligent enough to encourage real education without majority of voters being educated for real. The way to boot the process and hopefully sustain it is to mirror the educational paths of pioneers and founders. In short, self-education. Self-education is not that outrageous. That is what real schools are supposed to encourage you to do without any interference. Let me underline that interference will destroy self-education. Grades, cookie-cutter curricula, the threat of repeating classes or even semesters can destroy a beautiful and delicate mind. Self-education is like learning to walk, except this time you learn to move in the universe. And instead of getting your feet to move quite right, you are trying to find the audiobooks that somewhat fit what you already know. Finally, on a related subject, it hurts me to say it, but free college is not quite right. It should be free, real, and effective education that shows real results. Compare that to an important vaccine. We don't need a mere free shot of something spelled out with weasel words. We need a real and effective vaccine that shows real results across millions of participants. You should not allow yourself to think of college or university as something that gets you a good job. A good job is nothing. The dumbest of liars can get you fired if you get in their way. The thing you must look for is knowledge, wisdom, and greatness, as that opens all the gateways ahead of you. But more importantly, that path is most worthy of you. It is the most human and healthiest of paths. All you need to start is a small bowl of ice cream, an electric blanket, a fine pillow, a comfy bed, and a narrated book by Carl Sagan, or Neil deGrasse Tyson, or Bill Bryson. And then, as you get going, and maybe take to liking new titles from bestseller lists and new authors you've never heard of, find a small, perhaps pocket-sized, well-respected book on bushcraft and start getting ready for your first venture into the wild by buying a backpack and a tent. You will need a pair of cut-proof gloves, a 16-inch bowie knife, don't do 14. Get high-quality Damascus, staghorn handle, fine leather sheath, full tang, obviously, and a second actually useful bushcraft knife. And then splurge on a sharp, foldable handsaw that you can bring along to all your adventures. And get an audiobook and fire going as everyone else is still hacking away in the woods. As you read more and more, and things start making sense, as you slowly and independently begin forming an accurate view of the world, bring a cheerful friend, or your mom, to a nearby state park. One with a fine beach and a tidy knick-knack store that also doubles as a hot dog stand and perhaps serves a fine and spicy vegetarian alternative. Later on, grab a couple of lovely and trusting friends, fool enough to try to thru-hike the Appalachian Trail with you in one go from Springer Mountain to Mount Katahdin, though I highly recommend section hiking at first. And also, please, please visit Henry at Walden Pond each time you climb Katahdin. You know, it is hard to miss the fact that a tent in bear country makes for a fine dorm room, and that each white blaze you meet on the AT doubles as an A+ that no teacher could possibly give you, and that each time you make it up Katahdin with 100 new books on your mind, you do graduate ever higher. I think both Henry and the mountain grant you some of their height. I know for certain, without a doubt, and I know you can feel it too. You are meant to become a great being.